This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه قال الله عز وجل في قرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل ربي أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا أما بعد The time of the hijrah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was one that involved several moving pieces. And of those moving pieces particularly were the different waves of the Sahaba that would leave the city of Mecca. And each one of them had a different circumstance and a different way of leaving Mecca. For example, there were certain Sahaba that were already in the city of, or in the area of Abyssinia. They were in modern day Ethiopia in Habasha. and they were there, and so they moved to Medina, they moved to Yathrib from Habasha. Then there were certain people of Mecca who were of the more older, the more vulnerable status, who had to leave the city of Mecca under the cover of the evening, because they were afraid that if they were caught by the Quraysh, then they would basically keep them within the city of Mecca or get rid of them completely. And then you had the likes of people like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was such a scary kind of, you know, personality for the Quraysh. So when he was migrating, no one dared to actually get in his way. And in fact, some of the narrations, Ibn Hisham Sirah mentions that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he actually took around 20 to 25 Sahaba himself. And he was not afraid of migrating from Mecca to Medina. And then came the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who got his title as-Siddiq from particularly the moment of Isra wal Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he traveled from Mecca to Quds, from Quds to the Samawat, through the heavens, and then he came back down and all in one evening came back to the city of Mecca and told the Quraysh about it. And they all laughed and they said, let us go and get your friend Abu Bakr and see what he has to say about this. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would famously say that if he said what you said, then know that I believe in what he said. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that this man is a Siddiq. He is the truthful. He is the one who believes in the truth. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his entire approach to hijrah was one that of excitement. Because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a person who used to see every single one of these opportunities as opportunities for ibadah. He would look at every moment and say, this is a chance for me to prove my loyalty and my faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would be the first one to raise his hand when it came to any chance to give, when it came any chance to free slaves in the city of Mecca, it would be Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that would raise his hand and volunteer to free those people. It was the same Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anh who was responsible for aiding in the freedom of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was. And so when it came time for hijrah, one of the greatest tests for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was actually to wait. It was to wait. Because sometimes, as everybody in this musalla, they know that your love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not always be tested by how much you can do something, but sometimes it will be tested as to how much you can wait for something. It's not always about your action, it's about holding back sometimes. And this was the moment in Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's life where he was told, he was given the lesson of sabr, of waiting. Each and every day he would have to wait. He would see Muslim after Muslim leaving the city of Mecca, and he would continuously go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, is it our turn? Is it our turn now? Is today the day? It was so much so that some of the riwayat mentioned that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he went and purchased two camels. He went and purchased two camels in preparation for the hijrah of himself and his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so during this time, after the second pledge of Aqaba, where the Muslims of Medina, of Yathrib, would come and they would pledge their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people the likes of Ka'b ibn Malik, these were the famous Sahabi that would accept Islam from Yathrib. And the Quraysh began to hear about this possible move. This was no longer just kind of fiction. This was no longer something that was a small, trivial matter. This was actually concerning to them at this point. To the point where the Quraysh actually met one evening. Prior to the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, they met in this home called Darul Nadwa. They met in this home called Darul Nadwa, and they called all of their higher-ups, and they began to plot, and they began to plan, and they began to tell one another, what should we do regarding this particular situation? We have noticed people leaving. We have noticed people fleeing from Mecca. There, some of their families are still behind here. But I noticed that Muhammad ﷺ is still here. What do we do about him? What do we do about Abu Bakr? And I always say this, by the way, that one of the telltale signs psychologically of the insecurity of the Quraysh was that they were so scared of the Prophet ﷺ leaving. If you were think about this logically, if a person hated somebody so much, wouldn't it be so good for them just to get rid of them? Go make your own community. Go to Yathrib, see if I care. But look at the insecurity of the Quraysh. They were afraid. They were afraid that if this man were to leave Mecca, his news, his da'wah was so pure. It was so attractive to the heart that anyone who would hear it would become in love with it. They would grow in love with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This was the same thing, by the way, that Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he was saying to the Najashi when they went and sought asylum in Abyssinia. When the Najashi asked, well, what do you believe in? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he just said, we believe in La ilaha illallah, being good to your neighbors, being good to your parents, giving the poor, you know, money and food and supporting the people around you and not holding wealth as the ultimate status of people. And Najashi said, well, this is something that is universal. So the Quraysh were afraid. And so in Darul Nadwa, they met and they began to plot and scheme. And one of the most interesting riwayat of this particular moment in this house, in this home, as the Quraysh were meeting, they were joined by an elderly man that no one recognized. They were joined by an elderly man that no one recognized. He was just standing in the back of the council. And some of the Quraysh, they looked and they said, well, we all know each other. You're the leader of such and such tribe. You're the leader of such and such family. Who is that? Who is that person in the back? And the man, he speaks and he says, I'm just an elderly man from Najd. This is a tribe that was affiliated with the Quraysh. I'm just an elderly man from Najd. And the Quraysh were so naive and ignorant that they just were so desperate for support that they just accepted him. If you have any ideas to go along with us, to complement ours, then you're more than welcome as much as we are. And later on you find out that this elderly Najdi man was a man who came in the form of a man, but was actually Iblis, who was sitting and standing in the presence of the Ma'ashar al-Quraysh, the leaders of the Quraysh. He was sitting there plotting with them. And one by one, the Quraysh leaders would start to give their ideas. What should we do with this man? What should we do with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What should we do with him? Some of them said, well, let's just capture him. Let's hold him hostage. And the man from Najd said, no, that's not a good idea. Another man said, well, let's, you know, why don't we just let him go? Good riddance. Get rid of him. And the old man from Najd said, that's also a terrible idea. And then finally, somebody said, well, what we can do is we can gather some, you know, young shabab, some young men that kind of are affiliated with all of our tribes. Because their fear was if one person went and harmed the Prophet ﷺ, it would actually create tribal warfare. Because the Prophet ﷺ was still a Banu Hashimi. He was still a man who belonged to a very, very well-known family. So this elderly man heard this idea of one of the Quraysh, and let's just pick some of the Shabab from all of our tribes, and we'll get a good group of young men, and we'll have each one of them be responsible for the assassination of this man. And the elderly man from Najd, he says, this is the idea that we're going to go with. Subhanallah. Could you imagine, and think about this as a lesson, when a heart sinks so low, you begin to take shaitan as one of your allies. When the heart sinks so low, when the heart becomes so desperate, and the heart can see no difference between truth and lies, good and evil. All it sees is its own ego, its own vanity, its own nafs. You take shaitan as an ally instead of what the Quran calls him as adruwun mubin, as a clear enemy. You mistake the evil for good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every single one of us. And at this moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, unknowing to this gathering that the Quraysh were having, they began to plot and they agreed upon this goal that they had to kill the Prophet ﷺ that evening by sending some of their young men to surround his home. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not let this happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform Jibreel alayhi salam. And he would tell Jibreel alayhi salam, "Ya Jibreel, go and tell him. Go tell my messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Go tell him that this is the plot of the Quraysh. This is the plot of the disbelievers. They will go and surround his home tonight, and they will try to end his life." And this is where, by the way, we get in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, in verse number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the disbelievers, they plotted and planned against you, Ya Rasulullah. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ. They plan to restrain you. They plan to hold you captive. يَقْتُلُوكَ. Or they're planning to kill you. أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. Or they're planning to expel you. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ. They plan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of all planners. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go and he would find Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his family members, one who was remaining in the city of Mecca along with him and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he would go to Ali and he would say, "Ya Ali, I've been informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've been told by Allah, this is my time. This is my time to go." He informs Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was ready a month ago. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he says, "Ya Rasulullah, tell me where I need to go." And he tells Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, "Ya Abu Bakr, go wait for me. Go wait for me on the outskirts of Mecca. Let me do something that I have to take care of. You just go and you wait for me." And Abu Bakr, subhanallah, this is the, you know, you ever heard the phrase in the Quran, "Sami'na wa ata'na." You listen and you obey. You hear and you obey. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an never asked questions. Never asked questions. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said something, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an was the first person to obey the command. So without question, he went out and he waited for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the meantime, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling Ali radiallahu an in his own home, "Ya Ali, I need you to do a couple of things for me. It is my time to go. Allah Ta'ala has given me permission. It is my time to go. I'm going to leave with you, Ya Ali, a lot of the belongings that a lot of the Muslim families had left with me. And I need you to distribute them to the rightful owners of this, of these belongings, of this property. So go and give fairly the things that people have left with me for their families in Mecca." Number two, and this is going to be the biggest ask that I ask of you, Ya Ali, I need you to stay in my place tonight. I need you to stay in my place tonight. I need you to sleep in my bed. They are going to try and kill me, but they're not going to kill you. So stay in my bed tonight and sleep in my place. And the last but not least, Ya Ali, I need you to know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is promising you, is telling you that we will reunite with each other in Medina, inshallah. And at that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ended his conversation with Ali radiallahu an, but he found, subhanallah, his home already being surrounded. The Shabab of Mecca had already made their mark outside of the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if you listen to that ayah from the Quran, where we understand, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ, they plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the best of all planners. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jama'ah, I said a few weeks ago in a khutbah here at Qalam, the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that if the entirety of humanity got together to harm you, they would not be able to harm you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written it for you to be harmed. So although the Shabab of Mecca were surrounding the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with arrows at the ready, they were ready. As soon as they saw any movement outside the home, they would shoot and their mission would be accomplished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make it to the city of Medina, to establish Islam in Medina, to establish Islam in all the surrounding areas of the Arabian Peninsula, to establish Islam in places of Europe, in Asia, in America, and here in Carrollton, Texas. This was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at that moment, how would the plan come to life? At that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he picked up a clump of sand from the ground. He picked up a clump of sand from the ground, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went out of his home and he threw the sand in the air and he recited a very famous ayah from Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, and we made between them saddan, a barrier. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ saddan, and behind them was a barrier. فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ, and this almost covered them. فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, and they had no ability to see. People who were young, look at the narration particularly, were these elderlies of the Quraysh or the young of Quraysh? They were the youth of the Quraysh. They had every power possible, sight, hearing, vision, everything. And Allah says about them, فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And even the young Shabab were rid of all of their youth abilities. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this dust that he threw in the air almost acted like a miraculous sandstorm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he snuck right by each and every single one of them. And as the sand began to kind of calm down, the Quraysh were still in shock at what had just happened. And they look behind them and they see another Qurayshi man and they said, what are you doing here? And he says, what are you doing here? And they said, we're waiting for Muhammad. And he says, I just saw him. I just saw him 15 minutes ago. He went that way. He snuck right past you. You didn't even notice him. This is the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he snuck right past these people without being detected. The purpose of my khutbah today, in this entire narration, in this entire ordeal, there was a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he made that was actually recorded in the Quran. It was recorded in Surah Al-Isra in verse number 80, where in this particular moment, this dua sometimes goes kind of silently past the believer because we sometimes forget about this dua. But this dua is a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A man who lived his entire life in Mecca, his entire life in his hometown, surrounded by the people that he grew up with the families that revered and cared for him. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his messenger, leave, leave. And as the Prophet ﷺ was leaving, he looked back at the Kaaba, which many of us have seen with our own eyes. And you know the pain, even as visitors of the Kaaba, as visitors, guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go for Umrah and when you go for Hajj, you know the pain of what it feels like to look at the Kaaba one last time before you leave for the airport. You know that pain. The pain that comes into your throat. You feel like crying because you don't know if you're going to be able to see the Kaaba again. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we have the means of flights, of breaks, of savings. I want you to think at that moment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Kaaba was something not only he, but all of the anbiya that came before him, alayhim assalam, they were all attached to this structure. And Allah ta'ala had told him, Ya Rasulullah, leave this place. But you will come back. But for now you need to leave. But the dua that Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Al-Isra, he told the Prophet, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, oh my Rabbi, adkhilni mudkhala sidqin. Allow me to enter with a beautiful, truthful entrance. A beautiful, truthful entrance. Entrance into what? The city of Madinatul Munawwara. Allow me to have an entrance that is truthful, Ya Allah. An entrance that I'm doing for you, Ya Allah. An entrance that is smooth. And I want you to think, at that time, Yathrib was not the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just yet. It was a place where people didn't really know what to expect. I'm going there new. I have no idea what to expect. I'm going there having to relearn the community, relearn the geography, relearn everything that I thought I knew since I was a child. I have to start fresh there. So Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidqin. Allow me to have a truthful entrance, Ya Rasulullah. And then he says, wa akhrijni mukhraja sidqin. And allow me to exit with a truthful exit. With a truthful exit. Because subhanAllah, as the English maxim goes, one door closes, another door opens. If the other door opens, the previous door has to close. So when you leave something, you also have to leave with grace. You have to leave with grace. So Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, وَقُلْ رَبِّي وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ. And when you leave, leave truthfully, Ya Rasulullah. And when you leave something for the sake of Allah, you will never ever be disappointed. When you make a decision for the sake of Allah, you will never regret your decision. And in this particular dua, the ulama, they actually discuss why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the mudkhal before the makhraj? Why did he make the entrance before the exit? Because naturally, logically, you would think that you would ask Allah for an easy exit, then an easy entrance. You know why? The ulama explained this beautifully. They say that the reason why the mudkhal was mentioned before is because the mudkhal was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're entering a city so that you can worship Allah better. You're entering a city because you will establish the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the city better. And your makhraj, where you're exiting from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also bless it, but your intention for the move was something with Allah ta'ala in mind. So the beauty in your entrance will be awaiting you. And the beauty of your exit will also grace you as you leave. And in the end of the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us to say, وَجْعَلِّي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. And make for me, Ya Allah, from you, مِنْ لَدُنْكَ, only from you, Allah, سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. Make for me, from you, Ya Allah, a very, very powerful, a powerful aid, a powerful source of help, a powerful source of authority, Ya Allah. Because Ya Allah, you're the only one that can cause the Quraysh to hunt us down in Jabal al-Thawr and look at their own 2 feet, but still not be able to see us, Ya Allah. You're the only one that can allow that. When it comes to this dua, brothers and sisters, although this dua, the sabab, the context of the dua is from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and particularly the hijrah, it does not mean that this dua should be foreign to you and me. Anybody in this masjid who has ever made a decision to begin something in their life for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of Allah, I'm going to tell you something, is very vast. If you've ever made a move for the sake of your family, to make a decision to go somewhere new, to take care of your family in a better manner, if you've ever moved to be closer to a masjid, if you've ever moved to be closer to a community, if you've ever moved to be closer to people that will influence you for the sake of Allah, know that this dua applies to you. And if you've ever left and you've ever gone away from something that you used to call home, a job that you thought that you would have forever, a community that you thought would be there forever, certain people who you thought would be there forever. This dua is for you. Oh Allah, I ask you to make my entrance into anything new something that is sidqin, that has truth, that has khair, that has barakah in it. And whatever exit that I just exited from, oh Allah, I ask that you make that exit something that was also beautiful for me. And I'll tell you something, subhanAllah, one of the scholars of Sirah, they said that one of the proofs of this dua being accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he went back to Mecca eventually. If you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every single one of your endeavors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make each and every stage and phase and chapter of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it make sense. Even if it is not something that makes sense right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you understand why that difficulty happened. Why that particular move happened. Why that particular loss happened. Just keep your heart open for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are muttaqeen, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are mutawakkirin. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون